Hi, I'm Nicole.
And I'm Sashir.
And welcome to Earwolf Presents, featuring an episode of Best Friends.
March is Women's History Month, and to celebrate, here's our episode featuring Casey Wilson and June Diane Raphael,
who are two of the strongest, coolest women we know.
We have June and Casey play our version of the newlywed game, where they reminisce how they first met, what their favorite and least favorite things are about each other, and where they will be 20 years from now.
If you enjoy this episode, check out the rest of the show.
New episodes of Best Friends with Nicole Byer and Sashir Zameda are out every Wednesday.
Enjoy! Look at us, episode 176 of our podcast.
It's been a long ride.
We're people.
Wait, is that supposed to be the title of the podcast? Or did you say, or just
no, I just
clarifying
said it,
that
I
we're
just,
people.
I just said a title.
We're
I made it
people.
Up. The real name of this podcast is best People Are Best Friends. Friends and everybody loves it. Just
best
kidding.
Best friends be people and people be best friends.
And that's the name of this podcast. Mm-hmm. Guys, I know the name of it. It's called Sashir and Nicole Love to Talk.
You did. All your first options for potential names for the show were that long. They were like, Sashir and Nicole are best friends from outer space who do things together all the time.
Honestly, I stand by it. I love a good chunky sentence.
Yeah, but it's not catchy.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm down for a colon. I always wanted a best friends colon. The Sashir and Nicole story or whatever. Mm-hmm.
I think the real title I had, I don't know if we've said it yet, but the real title that I wanted was Oprah and Gail.
Yes.
Wait, what was it? It was like Oprah and Gail, The
down.
Road to the Podcast featuring Nicole and Sashir, a.k.a. You Better Listen, Everybody Loves It.
The Road to the Podcast is very funny. Like our journey to make a podcast.
Uh-huh, but it's like, it's this, just the
this
podcast.
Is
this is it. We made it.
Yeah. Just us documenting us doing it.
I haven't. Okay, let's get started.
Vroom, vroom.
I haven't seen you in
2 weeks.
Probably like a month and a half. 6 months?
Yeah, so it's
a
six
year?
6 months. Yeah, a full year.
It's been a really long time.
Because I was out of town and then you went out of town as soon as I got back in town.
I went out of town the day you came back in town, meaning we were two ships sailing past each other in the night, but it's 2019, so it was two planes.
Two planes passing the
two
sky.
Two Delta planes, mm-hmm. Unless you were on a different airline.
No, it was Delta, I swear.
Okay, good. I love Delta.
Yeah.
I mean, I found shit in my blanket, but honestly, it's the only thing that's disappointed me.
I mean, that's a testament to how good they are that you keep coming back even though you literally were shit on.
I was. But the seats are good.
Seats are good.
The food is good.
Food is good.
On the way to the East Coast, you get John and Vinny's, which is a delicious restaurant on Fairfax. And mm-hmm. I'll tell you something. They do not sponsor this podcast.
Yeah, we are plugging the hell out of Delta
when
right
I
now.
John and Vinny's, Delta, they do not sponsor this podcast, but you better buy a ticket and get to Fairfax.
Get some John and Vinny's right before you get
right
on the plane.
Right before you get on the plane, and then you can have John and Vinny's on the plane. It's called double dipping in John and Vinny's.
Get that double dip of J&V.
Yes, yes, yes. That sounded nasty. Where were you? What were you doing?
I was in New York.
Mm, concrete jungle.
Where dreams are made of, yes. And then I went to, oh dear.
Mm.
I was in Austin, Texas.
Yes, the big state.
The big state.
I couldn't
the big
remember
state
what it's
of
called.
Austin, Texas.
What's it called? Oh, the Lone Star State.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then Austin is where they keep it weird.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to... I went to New York twice.
Wow.
And I can't remember why.
Oh.
They couldn't like put the things together.
I mean, that's production sometimes. It's really wild.
What is all the
that's called a cinematic boom.
That was a cinematic boom.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
One was for I did Finding Your Roots, that PBS Henry Louis Gates show.
Oh. What did you find out?
Lots of slavery.
Oh, so much slavery.
I don't know if that's a spoiler or not, but yes.
Well, you are black and in America.
Yeah, so it's a good guess that there's going to be a lot of slavery in my history.
Yeah, how much? Like six slaves?
like there was only six slaves?
Yeah, what? Six? 27?
I think, and you know.
37 slaves.
They didn't put a number to it?
They just said that y'all were a bunch of slaves?
The kind were like, a bunch, yeah, a bunch of slaves.
A gaggle of slaves?
A gaggle, yeah. They showed me a plantation house, like an actual picture.
That your people lived in?
Yeah.
Whoa.
It was pretty wild.
Was it big, small? Who's to say?
Actually, I know I couldn't really tell the scale.
Mm.
And they're like, how do you feel? And I was like, shitty. Yeah. This sucks. This really sucks. I don't know. They want you to like be emotional and, which I was, but it was all new. And I also didn't think about how I would feel about this stuff. Like I knew I would learn new information about my history, but I had no idea how that would make me feel, if that makes sense.
How did it make you feel?
It made me feel good. Because it...
Good that you came from slaves?
No, it just made me feel good because, like, I honestly never thought any of this stuff could be found. I just never thought that I would know any of this history and that we would go so far back. Like, we went to, like, my grandma's grandparents.
Oh, shit.
Which is really far for black people.
Yeah, because grandma's 70? And then grandma's grandma would be 70. That's... 140 years back that you guys went, right? Is that math?
That's, yeah, kind of. It was like a couple hundred years back, yeah.
Yeah, wild.
And yeah, it's cool to think like that my people had some ownership of this country. Like we have roots in Virginia that go back 200 years.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought we were like scattered about, you know, like that. Oh. We're like some people here, mm-hmm. and then people moved and got shuffled around. But it was like, oh no, we had like families who stayed in this place for a long time.
Yes, you were not separated by the horrors of slavery. No. Cha-ching, the family stayed together on the plantation. I bet they never thought that you finding out your roots would be this fun. Wait, that's the door slamming on those people wanting you to cry.
But yeah, it did feel good. It felt like some blanks were being filled in. It was awesome.
That's fun. Yeah. I don't think I can do it because you had to spit in a cup, right? Or like get your mouth swabbed.
I did.
I won't give them my DNA.
I mean, yeah.
They're collecting it for something.
I do feel foolish for doing that.
Don't know what though.
Clones?
Maybe.
Unless it's like, well, yeah, I don't know. I was about to be like, maybe it's for like medical purposes. Like I need a important organ, a heart or something.
Oh, I'm so sorry. The medical industry is not nice. It's not going to be like, oh, we have your swab. Do you need a good heart? We made it.
Right.
They'll be like, we have your swab. Here's a heart. It's $7 billion and your firstborn. Basically die.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you know what time you were born?
I think it was like 8 in the morning on a Tuesday.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know what day I was born, except for the date.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I could like look at a calendar and figure it out.
You could?
No idea what time I was born.
Okay.
I know that like my dad's side of the family is from Barbados. My mom's side, they, you know, took a cruise to Mississippi, and I'm sure they were slaves.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they weren't.
I mean, I'd love that story if they chose to come here. If they really were like, let's take a journey. Let's see what's going on. Everyone else is going.
Like, so, like, all of our friends left. The Smiths down the street, they left. So, like, maybe we should, like, go with them. And then they got here and they were like, you know what? Not great, but we're going to stay.
I'll stay. I'll stick it out. See where this goes.
See what happens. That's fun and interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish there was a way to do it without having to do that spit thing, but, you know, whatever. The government has all my information already.
Yeah. Also, I get afraid that, like, maybe they're just making it up. Like, how do you know that that's real?
Damn, that sucks.
How do you know they didn't just, like, fabricate your life's history and then you're just, like, going around telling people and it's all a lie?
That would be really sad.
Right? Wouldn't it?
I mean, yeah, you're right. I don't know. They didn't hand me any of the documents. They just said.
They didn't give you nothing to keep?
They are going to. They have to, like, I don't know. They have to type up their ideas. They showed me pictures of articles that honestly could have been doctors.
Articles?
Yeah, because they would be like,
what? You came from a prominent slave family that made the papers?
I actually did.
What do you mean?
So the only way they could like find records of your family is through like birth certificates, anything that's legal record, marriage certificates, annulments, and then like the paper. And my family's in the paper a bunch.
Oh my God, for what?
I can't say it because I don't want to spoil it.
Oh man.
But it's some really cool shit.
Wait, say it off the mic. Tell me.
I'll tell you after.
Will you remember?
I will remember.
You know I won't.
I know.
I doubt my family made the paper at all.
Yeah,
actually,
maybe.
They probably did. I'm sure I came from like a line of like overachievers. I mean, my sister is one.
Yeah.
I'm lazy. I am constantly thinking that I would be just thrown away as a slave.
They'd
be
like, thrown away?
Yeah, they'd be like, we can't even sell this. Nobody wants it. They'd bring it right back and ask for a refund. But then I was like, oh, maybe they let me in the house because I'm big and I can nurse some babies or whatever.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so maybe, but then I can't cook. So, like, I'm useless. I nurse the babies and then they're like, all right, so she's like a milk jug with no other talents.
But you'd probably, like, keep the wife happy, like, she'd probably be like, she's funny. She's my funny friend. She's my funny slave.
And then I get too familiar and then get beat. They're like, you're not my friend.
Yeah, yeah. You're like,
well, what about yesterday?
You like touch her arm. Like, yeah, girl. And she's like, get out of my house. How dare you?
Oh, boy. It'd be a real. I mean, is this bad? Two black women just giggling about slavery on
Monday afternoon? We should talk about it. People like to ignore it as if it didn't happen. As if it didn't happen, like,
not that long ago. It's great. Like, my aunts remember, I almost just called it separation. Segregation.
Kind of.
You know, the separation times. Uh-huh. The blacks had to go in the back. Which is so ironic that, like, we had to sit at the back of the bus, and then in school, it was cool. Like, everything about being black is cool.
Oh, absolutely.
It's wild.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay. So here's what I was doing. Okay?
Yeah, yeah. What were you?
So my plane landed in JFK. Or not in. At.
Oh, I hope. Yeah. I hope it made it to
at
the
JFK. Okay. Then I did a show in Brooklyn. Then I rented a Jeep, took the top off, drove to Philly. Whew. I'll never go back to Philly again. What a wild place. Everybody was out of their minds. Every single person we interacted with was crazy. Did a show at Drexel University. Had a great time. Drove the Jeep back. Had some drinks. Had a slumby. Then I went to a brunch. And then I got into a lift where the man talked to me too much. So I said, I'm sleeping. And then he dropped me back off at JFK. Got on the plane. Landed yesterday. Here I am. And then today I woke up at 7 in the morning. Had to drive all the way to Santa Monica. All the traffic. And then I had to do a voiceover for something I signed an NDA for.
Wow. So exclusive.
You'll never know what it is.
I mean, one day, right?
Yeah. Yep, because I did multiple episodes, so I think it's going to air.
Yay, great.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Man, you busy.
I am. I'm busy. I am nonstop. I am go, go, go.
I'm pretty sure I sent it to you, but some people said they couldn't see it. So I sent the same thing on Instagram that I saw where I guess there's a new scam where some people who are claiming to be Uber drivers or Lyft drivers can just pick up. They can like pick up the request from someone else's phone.
And
they're like, "Hi, I'm your ride." And if you don't check to see if that's the matching car, it could be a completely different car. And I mostly check the license plate.
Yes. But you don't know makes and models.
I don't.
I do. I'll never be murdered.
Yeah, you really won't. But this person was like recounting their experience where she was getting picked up from the airport. Mm-hmm. This guy was like, are you Megan or whatever? And she's like, yeah. And she almost got in the car and she was like, wait, I don't think this is the right car. And this got here really quickly. And then she was like, wait, is this the car? And he goes, oh, the actual car is in the parking lot. I'm just driving this one over there. And she's like, wait, why do you have two cars? And then he's like, never mind, I'll just cancel it. And so he canceled it, and then she got a different different ride. And that driver explained how there's a new scam where people are just, like, picking up strangers. Like, and I don't know what they would do. I mean,
are they getting the money?
I don't I don't know if that's the goal. I don't know. I just assumed she was getting kidnapped.
Again, fully not worried about getting kidnapped. Somebody would drop me off. They'd be like, ma'am, you talk
you
too
are
much.
Simply too much.
Also, you're very loud. We're in a closed space. And I'd be like, where are we going?
Where are you taking me?
My mother used to say that to me all the time. She would keep my sister close because whoever kidnapped her would keep her. They'd be like, she's quiet, she's respectful, she's helpful. But me, they'd bring me right back, and my mother would remind me all the time. Okay, this segment is called Besting Each Other. Right now, Sashir's at an audition, so I'm flying solo for a hot second. And our guest, you know her from Happy Endings, Mrs. Fletcher, Always Be My Maybe, Black Monday, Family Guy, Champagne Ill, Heathers, Atypical, American Dad, ooh, so many things. It's Casey Wilson!
What an intro. I'm going to raise my energy level.
You don't have to. I have energy for days. It's exhausting.
I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you so much for coming.
I'm happy I have a friend.
It's nice to have a friend.
At the end of the day, it is. Yeah.
Some people will tweet us that they wish they had a best friend. Well, and that makes me sad.
Me too. They'll find someone.
Well, your best friend is June Diane Raphael.
Raphael.
Raphael. I've been saying it wrong for years.
Look, you know, that's something I know about my best friend.
You know,
shows how close
her
we
last
are.
Name.
Yeah, Raphael.
Oh, Raphael.
It's not intuitive because it's, of course, spelled.
It's spelled Raphael. Raphael.
Yeah, and I am Wilson.
Wilson?
Yeah.
Casey Wilson. Mm-hmm. I love it. All right, Casey, where did you two meet?
We met in a clown class at
Wait,
NYU.
Wait, really?
Yes. But like, you know, like old-timey clowning, mm-hmm. like with red noses and weird costumes at NYU, a sophomore year.
What is a clown class?
It's so strange. It's like you can't talk. It's not like birthday party clowns. Like you have to get in this thing called a ring of fire where like you can't get out for 3 hours unless the whole class laughs and you just like want to jump out a building.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So they make you, so the class stands around you. They are the ring of fire?
They are the ring of fire. And if anyone tries a fake laugh to be friendly, the teacher is like, no. So we met there.
My God.
My God.
Do you remember the longest you were in the ring of fire?
You know, I will say June and I weren't in there as long as others, but a poor friend was in there for honestly, it felt like 3 hours. Yeah.
Oh, boy. That's. Tough.
I know. It's tough to get a belly laugh from every single person.
But NYU, this is Tish.
Yeah.
Prestigious. So it's hard.
You know, they know what to do to humiliate everyone and leave you dignityless.
I love it. What is your favorite memory from traveling together?
Okay. So at my bachelorette party in Palm Springs, all the girls had gone out the first night and June organized the party. And everyone, like, looked cute. You know, we went to Mexican and dancing. And the next night was another dinner. And the morning of, we're all in the pool or, like, afternoon, and June clinks a glass.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are friends from home. You know, like, they don't all know her.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, 13 girls. And June's like, guys, I need to address everyone, which is strange to begin with. And she's like, I have to say I wasn't loving the way everyone presented themselves last night. And I'm like, my heart is just stopping. And she's like, I didn't feel the energy fields were as high as they could be, nor the, you know, basically like no one brought it. She's like, I'm asking for something different tonight. I want you to rummage through bags. If you have to borrow things, if you have to go to the gift shop, just let's try a bit harder tonight. And everybody's like, people keep thinking, my friend from home was like a teacher, was like, is she joking? And she wasn't. But let me tell you, did people bring it that night? And did we ultimately have a better time? Yeah. But it was a shock.
I honestly love that.
I mean, it's bold. It's bold.
It is, because it is. I think it's hard for your friends from home who meet a friend from where you live now, LA, who's in the industry. I think it might be like a little intimidating.
And
but
then
also,
for that person to say, like, I don't like what you were wearing.
But also, I love it because it's like, yeah, it's your bachelorette. Everyone should be bringing their A game.
Right. And she felt they weren't. And when I tried to sneak up to her, because I'm such a people pleaser and she's much more like boundaries and will just say, I was like, you know, one girl kind of feels like she only brought cover-ups. And June goes, who? Like, bring her to me. That was quite a moment.
I love that. What is your favorite thing about June?
I think my favorite thing about June is she is so kind of forthright, and she's such a confident, strong person, truly, but is also so much fun. You know, mm-hmm. she's not like, she will tell you what she's thinking. Like, her, the opening line that she will always say to people is, I gotta say. And you're like, uh-oh. But she has, like, such a strong sense of boundaries, and she's the most loyal friend a person could possibly have. If she says she's going to do something, she's going to do it. Mm-hmm. In a way that I do feel her, like, moral compass and center is so in the right place in the way I don't think everyone is ultimately. And mm-hmm. she's just the funniest person and the most compassionate person. That's many favorite things.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like you talking about a moral compass, because I feel like sometimes you're friends with a friend and you're like, I don't know if they're good in
their
heart.
Or what's their intention? Yes. Yes. So and you're like, I like having margaritas with you, mm-hmm. but I don't know if I want to tell you about, like, the addiction that runs through my family.
Mm-hmm. I think that's perfect margarita conversation.
I mean, the twain meet, for mm-hmm. sure. Yeah, for sure.
What is June's favorite thing about you?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I think she thinks I'm fun. Probably, I would hope, and that I'm empathetic. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I have a hard time ascribing myself compliments because I'm such a great person and I'm so humble. I think we've just been kicking around together. We have the same sense of humor. Mm-hmm. And it's such a special thing to have been friends for so long and go through so much of your life together since we were 17. And we're about 19 now, so it's crazy. It's only been 2 years.
It is very crazy that 2 years feels like such a long time.
It does, yeah.
So you met your freshman year of NYU.
Sophomore.
Sophomore year. Okay,
cool. How dare you?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Boy. Kimmy on the keys had to go back to type. Okay. What is something that you do that drives June crazy?
I have no grasp on technology. I think she's annoyed when I'm late or, like, I fuck up, you know, times and dates mm-hmm. and conference calls and phone. Just anything tech-wise is not mm-hmm. great. I think she... More like from a, I think she rolls her eyes when she sees me, like, try to befriend toxic people. Drives her crazy. She's like, why do you go in when people are crazy? Like, that I'm such a people pleaser, I think, bugs her.
I also have a little bit of that issue where I'm like, that person I had a really great time with, they did, you know, say a mean thing or two to me.
That I can't shake.
Maybe I gotta hang out with them one more time to find out if they're actually this mean.
Yes, and maybe one more time.
Uh-huh.
And I'm definitely spending time in therapy talking about someone I barely know because they made me feel bad, but it's just, yeah, not great. Mm-hmm. We're doing our best.
And when you say you're not good with technology, what does that entail?
Well, for instance, and I'm sure the younger listeners can relate, today June was like, I said my phone broke. So I can't text anyone. And she mm-hmm. said, why aren't you texting on your computer? And I said, I didn't know we could.
Oh.
So that was hard. That was, like, a hard moment for us today.
Oh, I see. I just found out you could text on the
computer. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Apparently people seem to know it. I mean, I'm getting a laugh from the producer, like, what the fuck?
Well, it's hard. When your phone isn't working, you're like, well, that's it. I can't speak to the outside world. We're done.
Right. I was like, and I'm done with myself even because I'm so mm-hmm. powered. Like, the phone is powered down and so am I suddenly.
Mm-hmm. But I also think that's nice to just.
It was nice.
Power down.
It was.
Disconnect just.
It had to be forced upon me, but it was nice.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ooh, we're flying through these. Which one of you would do better on Survivor?
June.
Really?
I would be dead in 4 minutes. And truly dead, not like kicked off.
Oh, you would pass
would
right
deceased.
Away?
Yes.
You'd be the first contestant they said, oh no.
Yeah, like I'm legally blind. I got an epidural when I was 0 centimeters dilated, like not in labor. And Cedars-Sinai, I had never seen that before. And I just don't, I'm not cut out for that kind of thing.
You're not wearing glasses, but you say you're legally blind.
I've got quite a contact in there. Okay. I'm not even eligible to do, like, LASIK, but I could do cataract surgery.
Oh.
Yeah. So I just am not going to go the distance there.
Fair.
Without my comforts.
Do you have astigmatism as well?
No, but I'm a negative 11.
Wow.
But what are you?
I'm -4 in one eye and -3 in the other.
Hmm,
I've never even heard of negative 11.
You've never heard of those numbers
no.
spoken aloud.
That's wild.
Yeah, they go to a special shelf for me.
How did you find out that you, well, obviously you couldn't see, but
it just kept like going down, down, down every year. But luckily they've used a word that I'm proud to hear at the last two appointments, which is that I've stabilized.
That means it's not getting any worse?
For now.
But
we're on borrowed time. I don't know what's happened since I've been there.
Does that run in your family?
Yeah, my mom had a little, but it's not amazing. I'm like so terrified that a natural disaster will leave me like using Coke bottles.
Mm-hmm.
Or, taking a side mirror on someone's car and mm-hmm. fashioning it. Like, I'll be dead. It'll just be like, save yourselves.
I feel like you should believe in yourself just a little bit more.
You know what I did put in all my earthquake kits is a ton of candy
okay.
and cigarettes. And I haven't smoked since 9/11, actually. But mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? This will be end of days.
Yeah, so why not smoke some cigarettes?
And I want some comforts of Starburst.
Did you quit smoking because of 9/11?
Yeah,
like kind of. Did 9/11 happen because you quit smoking?
You know, that's a less popular conspiracy theory, but I've been trying to tell everyone. No, after 9/11, I just was like, you know how we are. I smoked so many cigarettes that day.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard about what had happened the morning I was in New York, I had a strange reaction where I literally got my glasses on, marched mm-hmm. to the convenience store, and bought arms full of donuts.
Oh.
Because I was like, this is it. Like, we're going down.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like – yeah, I mean, I do struggle with food issues, but I was like, and other people are just like connecting each other on the streets mm-hmm. and I'm just eating my donuts. Like, well, it was a good run. And at least now I know, you know, that's my choice right now.
Mm, I see.
Yeah.
Can I go back to the traveling question?
Yes.
So you mentioned your bachelorette party. Do you have any other times that you guys have traveled together?
Many. So we went on a road trip once to perform in South Carolina and June mm-hmm. was always trying to save us a dollar, which I do appreciate because we had no money. But she would have us fly into cities, then rent a car, like fly past the city uh-huh. we were going to, rent a car to come back, and then like have to go back and drop that car. And then we were in such a bad fight. I don't even remember what was happening. And we're like, let's just put on some CDs. But she also gets annoyed all my CDs were skipped. Like, you know, they were all like
they're
so
all scratched. Yeah.
So we spent so much time in the car that we were listening to this musical theater because we're dorks. And we just memorized all the skips.
Mm-hmm.
And just we knew when to, you know, and then. And we just learned it together. So that was fun.
I have a bonus question that's not on the sheet. Do you guys, have you ever exchanged presents?
Yes, many, many, many.
What is the best present June has gotten for you?
Wow. The best present was, it's not that interesting though. Well, we got each other, I believe, astrological readings and we did astrological counseling together
mm-hmm.
as a writing partnership.
I don't know what this entails.
Yeah.
Please.
Look, you guys are going to be doing this soon.
Okay.
We went to our astrologist and she did a counseling session with us based on the stars.
Oh.
And, you know, we are the opposite sign. So I'm Scorpio, Capricorn rising, June's Capricorn, Scorpio rising. So
mm-hmm.
she's like, you two are always like the opposite forces from each other. And, you know, Scorpio's like crazy. I know I sound insane and that's fine. Scorpio's a pretty crazy sign and then Capricorn's very stabilizing. And she was like, in 7 years, you guys are going to flip. And I was like, this is craziness. And we flipped.
Wow.
Here we are.
I wonder if that's
And June said, I'm sorry to cut you off,
no,
but when we left, June's like, I feel I really have a lot more compassion towards you when I see your life through the stars.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Isn't that beautiful?
I love that.
Yeah, we got to take a look at things from different angles.
Mm-hmm. Did that session help your writing process?
I think it did because, you know, when you're writing with someone creatively, it is a marriage.
Yes.
And because we met so young, I mean, our friendship in many ways is more complex and deep than a marriage,
mm-hmm.
as much as I obviously love my husband, but it's different. We write together. We work together.
Mm-hmm.
Our moms passed around the same time, like unexpectedly. We both have two sons. There's been a kind of eerie overlap
mm-hmm.
with our friendship that it's intense, but wonderful.
I like that. I do think of my friendship with Sashir as a little bit of, or it's the closest thing I've ever had to having a boyfriend or a marriage or anything like
yeah.
that, because she's someone I care about so much that, like, if we are disagreeing about something, I'm like, oh, I have to stop, step back, see maybe what she's seeing, but then also just ask her, like, what's happening? What's going on? Are we okay?
Yeah. Because it's too important to mm-hmm. kind of let it fray over something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is, so let's see, what did I ask? What's the best present you're, June's, okay, so what's the best present you've gotten for June?
myself, probably, a blessing. Just blessings and tidings in her life. I got it. This is the best, actually. Okay. So June was 8 months pregnant with her second baby, so I threw a little sprinkle, just like a little, you know, those – it was like a 10 a.m. on a Saturday, little breakfast with eight friends. And then I said to her, listen, we need to go back to your sister's because there's a very meaningful – something meaningful is happening. Mm-hmm. And this is really bad, but I did kind of tee it up as though, like, I'd made a family slideshow for her. Like, there was going to be tears and, like, you know, roped in family members and done all that. So we get to her sister's house, and there's only, like, seven of us there in a very small room. And a male stripper arrived. And he got down on June, 8 months pregnant, in a way that it really took everyone's breath away. Uh-huh. It was a Sunday. In the stark light, you know, and then he had to, of course, like, get his clothes together. Mm-hmm. He didn't bring music. It was just...
Oh, no.
It was a great gift, you know?
That's honestly very funny.
Yeah.
I love that so much. Just like a nice Sunday afternoon, daytime male stripper.
When you are, you know, about to give birth.
But also, wild that he didn't bring music.
That was a problem. And I assumed he would, so I didn't have anything teed up. And of course he would. He brought a pizza, which I had requested, but...
I once had a male stripper come to my friend's bachelorette, and he brought an empty pizza box.
Okay, because he, you know, these are props.
I guess he got hungry.
Oh, no, I see what you're saying.
Who knows?
Look, they're people, too.
They are people, too.
And they're fallible. And last thing, actually, June, for my bachelorette, and I hate to keep going back to that, but one time when we were, like, really, really, really stoned at, like, Coachella or something dumb, we were sitting staring at this, like, light fixture, and I just said to her, after a lot of silence, June, I want to marry a businessman. And so years later, I mean, I did not really marry a businessman, but the stripper, she's like, we've got a businessman here. And she had told him to dress in a suit, which you would think isn't like that hard to wrestle up. But in fact, he was in fatigues.
Oh, hi! So she airs back from her audition.
I have to say, I love this audition look.
Oh, thank you.
You look beautiful.
Thanks.
You
Hi.
Do look great.
Hi there. How are you?
Hi.
Yeah,
I was supposed to be young.
Look.
So that's why you're wearing colors.
Yeah.
Usually I wear earth tones.
Will not want right here.
Yeah, your overalls. You could have been in that audition room, honestly.
And why wasn't I?
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. I get all angry.
You got to drive back and ask why Casey wasn't there.
It would take me so long.
Okay. Our last question is, what do you hope you're both doing in 20 years?
Oh, wow. I mean, I hope we're, you know, we still have lovers. And I hope our friendship, not to be cheesy, but I felt it's gotten stronger. And we've always lived about three blocks from each other over like 17 years.
Whoa.
And I hope we're watching our kids, you know, grow and still in each other's lives in the most meaningful way that we are now.
I'm a great person.
Oh,
I've mentioned like planned communities before.
Yeah.
And it scares Nicole, but I like the idea of having people you love growing together and like raising kids together.
I 100% agree. And that is so missing like from our culture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is interesting that we don't choose to live near friends and help them raise children.
Yeah.
But I just don't know what my place would be in this society as a woman without a partner and no children. Would I be watching the babes? Would I be taking children for walks?
Right. I know you'd find your way, but I hear you.
I hear you. Well, that's it.
Okay. You're going to bring Miss June in?
Yes.
Okay.
We're going to ask
her. She's like, I hate her.
Questions.
Bye, guys.
Thank you.
The second part of best in it. Wait, best? Damn. Besting each other?
Besting each other, yes.
I truly can't remember the segment we created.
Is it a test?
Mm-hmm. We're going to be grading you. But we just spoke to Casey Wilson, and now we're speaking to her. Oh, wait. I didn't have an intro for you. You're on Grace and Frankie. You host a podcast called How Did This Get Made? It's June, Diane, Raphael. I said it correctly. I've been saying Raphael incorrectly.
It's okay.
And then Casey corrected me. Again, me telling you a problem that you would not have known about.
Here I was thinking everything was fine.
No, but I mispronounced your name
don't
earlier.
Know my name.
I'm so sorry.
No, I have accepted. At this point, I actually really do accept both pronunciations. Mm-hmm. And I think people feel so badly when it's not pronounced how it is supposed to be pronounced, mm-hmm. but I genuinely don't care.
Ah.
You know? And yeah. I don't know. I've had people say, and I think it's true, that it's important to struggle through a name and to mm-hmm. not make a name easier for people. But at the same time, I'm like, I like Raphael. I've heard it my whole life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I truly have no negative feelings attached to it being pronounced that way.
Did your parents, like, make a thing of, like, you have to have your people, your peers call you the right name?
Not at all.
Yeah.
So I just don't – I don't have any feelings about it.
Okay.
But I know other people do when they're like, I've been pronouncing it wrong. I'm like, it's really okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had trouble with her name for a while because I saved it in my phone incorrectly. I think it was S-I, and I was like, Sisir? No, that can't be it.
I had an IT teacher called me Shazier. Like he was, I think he was dyslexic. He brought the Z in from the, like there's no Z in my first name. And my mom would, like every parent-teacher meeting, just correct all the teachers and be like, it's Sashir. And then later in life, she wanted to change my name. And like, was like, what if we change the spelling so it's easier for people? And I was like, you were the one who taught me to take pride in my name and defend it till I die. And now she's like, what if we put a dash in there?
When my mom passed away, I started using my middle name, which is Diane, which I never really used before, which was her name. Oh. So that's important to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that feels like such a nice way to honor her. But I don't have any feelings about my last name.
That's a very sweet way to honor her.
Thank you.
I really love that.
That's really nice, yeah.
I guess I gotta get my mom's middle name going. Nicole Lily Byer. Doesn't really flow. Fuck you, mommy.
You're out.
Okay. So how did you meet Casey?
So I know what she said because we've said it before together, but the truth is Casey and I were in the same acting studio at NYU, and before the old studio system at New York University was set up so that you were in class with 20 people.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another class of 20 people within one studio. Mm-hmm. And when we started off as freshmen at 18 years old, Casey was in the other class. And so we just circled each other for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I remember she was in a sorority, which at NYU was not what you do. If you went to acting school, it was like not what you do.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no, that's so sad. Like, what happened? You know, and I remember thinking she was way too much for me. I had a really hard time my freshman year. I was very scared and overwhelmed, and she was like getting people together for drinks every night and and was organizing events, and I was like, what's that? And I'm frightened. Like, I remember getting little pamphlets in our dorm room about like spring break and Acapulco and like seeing like all white teenage kids and like flames behind them and like colorful drinks and stuff. And it terrified me. And that was sort of, not that she was that, but at that time, and she had much more energy,
just in a baseline,
and spirit. And I was like not someone who had spirit, you know, or was willing to rally around like, we're in this together. I was just scared and really lonely. Mm-hmm. And so my first reaction to her was
fear
that she might rest her eyes on me and I would have to, I would also have to engage on that level, like meet her at the energy level she was at, which was like, we're the whole cast of this show is going out tonight. And I was like,
no.
But when we did connect, which was in a clown class, and her light really shone on me and she reached out to me, I was like, oh, now understand what this warmth and inclusive, like, come into my circle. You're okay now. Mm-hmm. We're going to do this. I know. I'll cry. I will cry. Like,
No, it's okay.
It's okay. But just that spirit of, like, come be a part of this. Was so inclusive and so just wanting people to feel great and that we were going to be okay together and that we should have fun. And I realized I had completely misjudged it and projected all of my own fears onto her.
Damn, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it's so beautiful because I feel like a lot of women grow up with the notion that there's only one woman who can rise above everything. So when a woman is nice to you after you've been inundated with all of those ideologies, you're like, well, nothing good can come of this. Mm-hmm. Why is she so cool and nice? Mm-hmm. I mean, when I met you, I very much was like, she's too cool. She's not going to want to be my friend, and I'm gonna do it. I think I'm gonna make her my friend. It was a very conscious thing. I was like, she's cool. She's cool. She doesn't talk much, but she's cool.
Well, that's how I felt too, because you talk a lot. And I was like, I felt like I'm not going to match this energy at all.
There's no space for me here.
Yes, yeah. But there is.
Totally. And it was such, I'm so glad that I didn't shut her down and that I allowed myself to be included in her life because once you are, and that's the other thing I realized, like, she would never let you go, you know? Yeah.
Do you know how long do you think it took for you two to, like, click in a way where you're like, oh, like, we have a kinship or, like, past, like, oh, we're just classmates and, like.
So the thing we bonded over immediately in that class was we had a teacher who, and when I say clowning, I mean like old school, we're putting on red noses. We're not speaking. There's nothing verbal. We are doing full physical comedy. And we were in a class where every student had to sit, including the teacher, and you'd have to get up and make everyone laugh simultaneously, including the teacher.
Whoa.
And you could not sit back down until that happened.
Oh boy, it's a lot of pressure.
It was really a lot. Mm-hmm. And I was up at night just like, and I would try to plan things, but of course you couldn't. Mm-hmm. But your clown was really like the essence of you or what was most raw about you. And her clown was really angry. And my clown was really shy. And I mean, there were kids, there were students in the class who were up there for 45 minutes, full body sweats, just like in puddles. And we would all try to laugh but the teacher knew what was and was not authentic. And so, but this thing about this teacher was that we both felt was kinder to the boys in the class.
Oh, of course.
Of course.
Of course.
And we felt like she got them out of the ring of fire quicker. Mm-hmm. And like we felt she was much harder on us and didn't think or didn't invest in the women.
Mm-hmm. Well, women aren't funny. We all know that,
but it's important to keep on saying it. It really is. Because I worry people forget. So we connected over that, really, which was like we both loved doing comedy. We both loved the class and we thought the work was – it's still, to this day, some of the best work I've seen was in that class.
Yeah.
So it's still – I think it informed so much of what we ended up both doing and being drawn to. But it was also a source of like there's like active discrimination going on here. Mm-hmm. And we brought it to the school, and sort of our first experience together was really uniting over questioning this institutional mm-hmm. power in the space we were in.
Wow, that's amazing that you brought it up.
Yeah, truly. Was anything done about it?
No. Mm. I don't think so. God, I don't think so.
I will say this. It does suck, but I do think that teacher was preparing you for the reality of being an actor, because you just have to be funnier than men sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, you go in. I've gone in for many auditions for Daryl, where mm-hmm. they're like, I don't know. I guess it doesn't have to be a man. And then, you know, Daryl's a Daryl yep. when it's cast. And you're like, mm-hmm. well, why did we pretend?
Totally. Mm-hmm. Well, and the thing that I learned from Casey, because I was working through my own internalized misogyny at that point too. I think I probably needed Casey to be the one who was like, the women in our class are amazing. Like, mm-hmm. look at the work they're doing. And I was like, oh. Like, I don't even know if I was on my own journey at mm-hmm. what point, you know. So she was really the one, and continues, and really like created a whole worldview for me, which was like, women's stories are funnier. mm-hmm. Women, what we're interested in, what we say, what we do is funny. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I've always thought so, but I didn't have anyone mm-hmm. saying that.
Yeah.
I love that. What's your favorite memory of traveling together?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I know she's going to have so much to say about that one, but... So we had a live sketch show called Road Hard and Put Away Wet, and we were booked. I think I handled like all of the admin and travel mm-hmm. portion of it. And we were booked, I think, in Charleston. And we got off the airplane and we were sitting. These were crazy times, like just heady times. Like nobody had a functioning credit card. Mm-hmm. Phones were being shut off on the daily. It was like, who has minutes left? And mm-hmm. and telling people to like forward all the calls to Casey's line and getting money from her dad. Like, it was just a time of madness. Mm-hmm. And during that time of madness, we were booked at the Charleston Comedy Festival. Mm-hmm. We get out. We're waiting for the van to pick us up and the people to pick us up. And we're sitting out there, and I was like, Casey. And it was so hard to break to her. I'm like, I don't know if we're in the right city.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I'm hot.
Sure. And she was like, where are we now? And I was like, I don't know. But I just have the voice that I'm not feeling confident that we're in the right place. And we had to go up to a gentleman, I'll never forget, and simply ask, where are we?
Where
it's
were
like
you?
A crazy question to ask. But this is before, like,
you could just check out your phone.
Yeah, yes. Before, like, you could find out, like, we had to ask someone, like, where?
What do you call this? What's your understanding of where we are right now?
Were you in the right place?
So, we were in the right place mm-hmm. overall, but we had flown to, like, the airport that was much further away. Oh. So, they had sent – so, there was some miscommunication, but I was like, when we had to really think about, like, what state are we in? So, yeah, it was a time where details were just, like, mysterious.
It's a scary feeling.
It was a wild feeling. I was just like, I'm sober. Very sober. Don't know where I am. Couldn't tell you.
When I tour a lot and TSA is like, where are you headed? I'm like, oh, what does it say on that ticket? And then they're like, are you a terrorist? And I was like, if I was, what a bad terrorist. I don't know what I'm bombing. I'm going.
No idea.
I'll see any plane. I do that. I have that experience with drivers sometimes when they pick me up to go somewhere and they're like, so what airport are you going to? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know.
Whichever one says on your little sheet.
Is there an email or something you can refer to? I can't be expected.
And sometimes they don't. And then you're like, well, I guess I'll call the contact.
Yeah.
What is your favorite thing about Casey?
There's a lot. I mean, Casey and I have known each other since we were 18. We've gone through a lot together, personally and together, professionally. I think the thing that I love the most about her is how big her feelings are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How
like she loves so deeply and is so and feels so deeply. And they're on parade, you know, and I've learned so much about that and being okay with that in myself. But I love that about her, that there's – that she lives life feeling so much and expressing so much, the good, the bad, the ugly, just all of it. I've found really like liberating to be around.
Do you feel like it's rubbed off on you at all?
Definitely. I mean, not to get too much into our astrology and our signs. I mean, we've done full readings together to kind of understand it. But she's a Scorpio with a Capricorn rising, and I'm a Capricorn with a Scorpio rising. So an astrologist would say we're literally like getting from each other the exact things that we really need and our lessons to wrestle with what's hard.
Yeah.
And I think that's true. I mean, I think she's really – she was also – one of the things I loved about her early on and why I'm so glad she looked at me in that class and decided, like, I'm coming for you. And I had no choice in the matter. But I'm so glad she did because she was ambitious to a level that I couldn't even – I was like, maybe I'll do Three Sisters off Broadway? Like, maybe. And she was like, I'm going to be on SNL. I'm going to do this. We're moving to LA. We're going to be creating a show. It's going to go here. And I was just like along for that experience. And I was pretty ambitious too, but almost embarrassed about it. Or it was harder for me to like step into because of like my background. I felt like that wasn't right or that I was taking up too much space. And so to be with someone as a friend and also professionally who was so willing to demand to be seen was very helpful for me.
Yeah.
And has totally, I mean, changed the course of my life.
I love that too. All these answers are so
sweet,
heartwarming, and kind. I really do love talking about other people's friendship because there's a reason why people click and bond and are together. What is Casey's favorite thing about you?
Oh, gosh. You know, I think Casey thinks I'm like a very hard worker. And I think she appreciates – I mean, I think there's a lot more that she appreciates. I think one of the her favorite things about me probably is like the level of like intimacy we can go to and the depth of – the conversations and the sort of exploration of feelings that don't scare me. You know, like the big feelings that don't scare me that I hope she feels safe bringing to me. We've also both experienced a lot of grief in our lives and we really can connect on that. And you know, she lost her mom suddenly. I lost my mom suddenly a year and a half later. Then my dad passed away years later. So we've had children at the same time. We've had so much sort of death and birth professionally too. That I think I've been able to – we've both been able to. But I think what she would probably say about me is – and what's so special about our relationship is we've both been able to really – I don't know, really not shy away from that.
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah, like we're like all there for it all, you know? And
you're
not everybody
fair
can
weather
be.
Friends.
Yeah, not everybody can be.
It's very
true.
Turns
out.
Very true.
What is something that you do that drives Casey crazy?
Oh, gosh. This is a hard one. I feel like I'm going to get this wrong. What do I do that drives her crazy? I mean, I think she thinks, well, I know she's disturbed. I don't know if it drives her crazy, but like, I know she's disturbed at the hours I keep that I'm like up at 5 a.m. Oh. And like she, I think it sort of drives her crazy that I'm like, my work ethic, by the way, hers is insane, but and I don't think this is necessarily true, but I think she always comments on me being just like a machine of productivity.
Okay.
Now that's not like a great answer because I can't think of like a tick or something that, I mean, not an actual tick.
It kind of sounds like when you're doing a job interview and they're like, what's your worst quality? I work too hard.
I know. I'm really struggling. I'm sure there are a million things. I genuinely don't know what they are. She's been a good friend to not reveal them to me.
Or maybe you don't annoy her.
Yeah, maybe.
I doubt that's possible. Oh, I know. Oh. Of course I know. She thinks I talk too softly.
Oh.
Yeah, like too quietly?
Yes. Because oh. when I can, like, I'm saying something. I'll go right here. And she's like, what are you saying? I'm like, no. And then she said that. I'm like, I love that. And she goes crazy.
Oh, okay.
Which of you would do better on Survivor?
Ooh. That's a tough one. I think I would.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think I would. Mm-hmm. I think I have a bit more access to my now listen, Casey would fight physically and has access to her primal self too. But I believe that I am more, I have more endurance in like rugged conditions. Casey's like four seasons or bust.
I love it. What do you hope you guys are both doing in 20 years?
Oh, what a great question. I hope that we are both enjoying grown children and their health and our family's health. And I hope that we're all together and enjoying life. And I want our families to be intertwined. I want to feel like, oh, we go on vacations together. Our kids grew up together. Like we are a part of the same community and unit. And I was about to say, I hope we're working, but I'm like, I don't know. I don't know that I want to be doing. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Longer fair. I'm in this, the longer I'm like, when can I get out?
I mean, it's soul sucking.
It's a lot. Yeah. Like, I know the retirement age is usually 65, but
but maybe tomorrow? Maybe I never work again starting tomorrow?
And I just see, I don't know. I don't want to be doing these hours. I don't know.
It's long hours long and days. You're away, especially if you're like, she was in Atlanta for 2 months.
I'm sorry.
It was such a – I had just gotten her here. I got her to L.A. from New York. And I said, my friend is here forever. And then she was like, bye-bye. So sad. It was back to late-night phone calls and being like, when do you come back? Oh, it made me so sad. Ooh, and then I came up with bonus questions. Okay.
Wait, did we ask if – what did she
– No, I skipped that with Casey by accident.
Okay, then we'll skip.
I'm not good alone.
You're doing great. You're doing great.
I'm not good alone.
No, you're doing such a good job.
Yeah, I added questions and skipped one. Yeah, I'm
things
thriving.
Have changed. I was gone for half an hour and the whole show's
the whole
different.
Podcast.
It's now called
This is
Hello.
A webisode.
Hello, we like shirts. Okay, what is the best friend? Nope. What is the best gift you've gotten, Casey?
Okay, so let me just say this. Gift giving is not one of my love languages.
Okay.
So I'm not a good gift giver. She's an excellent one.
Mm-hmm.
I've struggled with it. I struggle with it with my husband. We have to talk about it in couples therapy. It's not – I didn't grow up getting – I don't
– Same.
I'm just like, oh, and I don't like stuff really. Like I just have trouble with gifts. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to think of what – I remember, and I don't know if she's going to remember this, but when we first moved to L.A., I got her a coffee pot.
Oh, okay.
And I felt like that was setting her up for success here.
That's a very adult.
I think very, very adult. Yeah. Like, you're going to wake up in the morning and you're going to want coffee.
And you're going to want coffee. And we can do that for ourselves. You know, like, we don't have to be tied. In New York, we lived in St. Mark's in a studio apartment that was converted to a 3-bedroom. It was
God.
I couldn't put a suitcase down in my room.
Whoa.
Like, there was no – and Casey had a double bed and you would just walk into the bed. Like,
yep.
Wow. So we had a Starbucks right around the block on 2nd Avenue. And – That's where we got coffee every day. Mm-hmm. And I remember it being a big thing. Like, we live in LA now. Mm-hmm. We do things in our homes. Meanwhile, her home was like a terrible apartment on Coenga and like and the 101. Just like sitting on the
hot. Yeah.
It was not great. But mm-hmm. I think that's what I was trying to impart. Like, we can make a coffee for ourselves. That.
I'm meaningful. Bad at gifts. I give people gifts that I want.
I get it. I like cards. I will always take a card.
I do like a nice card. Also, my mom loved giving gifts, and I saw how much work that was, and I was like, not for me.
It's not for me.
I don't want that. That's a lot of work. And then when people go, oh, and you're like, your voice went too high. You're not happy about this.
I know. There's a formality to that moment that I don't love. I feel like it puts a lot of pressure on the receiver to behave a certain way. I'm like, open this in your own time, on your own dime.
On your own. What's the best gift that Casey's given you?
Oh, gosh. Mm-hmm. Well, she just got me a reading with our astrologist, Heidi Rose Robbins, that I really needed. And then she actually just recently got me. I'm also – the domestic realm doesn't come easy to me. It feels like I have to really work at it. And so she framed a picture of me and my kids from Halloween. And I was like, I'm so happy to have this. How did you do it? No. Like, what were the steps? It feels so far away to me. I'm like, how do people get all that done?
Yeah, whenever I go to her house, I'm like, you did all this yourself? It's crazy. She got a lampshade like up in the ceiling. Wow. I was like, how you do that?
I like being handy.
You like it. That's like great. It, yeah.
Like making a home with my stuff that feels very like me.
And I like the experience of being in that home. I can't like do it though. It's very hard for me.
It's very hard for me too. Yeah. I had to get a decorator, Gus. I don't know how to do one thing.
Oh, there's other option.
You come and you do this with your fun hair. Come on. She's very cool. She's like, Nicole, that's really dope. I love Caitlin. She's great.
That's amazing. That's money well spent.
I think so.
Absolutely.
It makes me so happy. Okay, we got to get Casey back in here and go through those questions. Now we got June and Casey here together. We're going to do a speed round because children need to be picked up.
Lives need to be lived.
Yes. Okay, we asked
this
how
is going to end our friendship.
I'm so scared.
We asked, how did you two meet? And you both said clown class at NYU. Although June talked about how you guys were in different.
Oh my God, I see already June is slamming me all over.
Well, I get intimidated.
It's a good thing. It's like, you're so great. I'm scared.
Kind of. Yeah. Actually, not kind of. That's what it was.
Oh, that is. I'm so sorry.
That
I read on.
You were so wonderful. And June was intimidated by how inclusive and kind you were.
That's so nice. And
that
and I stand
you
corrected.
Locked in on her during clown class while she was silently, I guess, trying to clown and make everybody happy. And June was like, I had no choice. I had to be Casey's friend.
Yeah, and she's thankful for that. That's correct.
And then your favorite memory of traveling together. Casey said a bachelorette party in Palm Springs, second day. June challenged everyone on how they presented themselves, which is my favorite thing because you were in here in a beautiful white suit.
Thank you. We won't talk about.
So you're just like, everyone step it the
what
fuck
I'm
up.
What I'm wearing. Go on. Okay, but can I just pipe in here because the second memory I had was about that trip when I told you when June was trying to rent different cars.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, good.
The comedy tour in Charleston. You didn't know if you were in the right suit.
Remember when we sat in the airport and I was like, I'm not clear.
I was like,
is
it South Carolina or North Carolina?
We, we went to the wrong one. This is so fucked up. What's your favorite thing about your friend, Casey said?
Good boundaries.
Good boundaries. Very loyal.
What's
loyal.
Wrong with that?
A moral compass, funny and compassionate. And June said, Casey has big feelings. You love deeply, you feel deeply, and you live life with so much feeling and your ambition.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. I feel the way you retyped mine sounded less enthusiastic when you go back and listen to the podcast.
I'm sure.
Thank you.
What is your friend's favorite thing about you? Casey said, I think she thinks I'm fun, I'm empathetic, same sense of humor, and it's special to be friends for so long. June said the intimacy we have and that that Casey isn't scared by, wait, what?
Yeah.
Oh, June isn't scared by big feelings. And you've had so many similar things happen to each other at the same time.
Nice.
What is something that you do that drives your friend crazy? Casey said, I have no grasp on technology and messes up dates and times and anything technical. And then June rolls her eyes when she befriends toxic people. Oh, and you can't see it, but both of them leaned back and cackled in unison, and it was perfect to watch. And then June said, Casey's disturbed by the hours she keeps and her work ethic. She's a machine.
Don't like it.
And then she talks too softly.
Oh. That's a main pet one. Peeve. No one can hear you. I hope people at home notice that.
Who would do better on Survivor? Casey said June, that she would be dead in 4 minutes. Actually, Jen. June said, I would. I have more stamina and ruggedness in this condition. Which is so funny.
Oh my God.
Then you guys had the same answer for what you're both doing in 20 years. Casey said, I hope we still have lovers and we're watching our kids grow and our friendship is as meaningful as it is now. June said, both enjoying grown children, their family's health, together enjoying life. Our families are intertwined, go on vacations together. The kids grow up, same family and unit. And then I asked bonus questions. What is the best present your friend has gotten for you? Casey said, astrological readings for an astrological partnership. You have the same, you both mentioned Capricorn.
You said that too?
Pisces? No, what is it? Capricorn?
Capricorn and
Scorpio. Scorpio. Yes.
Yeah. Opposite signs. Wow.
And then June said, the reading with the astrologist, Heidi Rose Robbins.
You guys, I mean, it doesn't seem you need any counseling through the stars, but
I would love to try it.
But I don't know my rising moon because I have no idea what time I was
Heidi
born.
Heidi will take.
Well, you do need that.
I have no idea.
Let's call some hospitals and drill down.
It doesn't say it on my birth certificate.
That's strange.
My birth certificate just says my name and that, like, I'm here. It really says nothing.
3-date window.
Yeah. They're like, she was here. It felt like she was here the whole time. I don't know.
She's not still here.
She's omnipresent. Oh, where are you born?
Riverview Medical Center in Red Bank, New Jersey.
Can someone look into that?
I've never heard of such a thing.
Yep. Red Bank, New Jersey.
We were just like, we did enough.
Yeah.
Yes. We got most of it.
Why do we need to know so exactly?
I don't know if anyone would know. Because I think it was just my parents in the room. Because my
But does your mom have like any touchstone for a time, day, night?
Well, she did. So I can't ask.
Look, and look.
Unless
I'm right there with you.
We could do a seance.
Look, we all have questions.
And then I could, during the seance.
And that's what you want to ask?
Ask what time I was born.
She'd be like, you wasting my time.
Yeah.
That's what you want to ask me? What time you were born?
We're getting to numbers and data points?
Wait, we got to finish this. These kids need to be picked up. What is the best present you've gotten your friend? Casey said June was 8 months pregnant, so she threw a breakfast. And then let her back home and misled her that it would be touching and tearful. But then it was a stripper, just right on a Sunday afternoon. June said, gifts are not my love language. When we first got to LA, I got Casey a coffee pot. And I think I set her up for success here.
I don't, but I guess I owe a lot to that pot. That pot means a lot. Thank you.
Oh, boy.
It's strange when someone's like, that's the most meaningful gift, and you don't even recall it.
I knew it wasn't going to.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe you were more aware of what
it
did.
But I do think we're seeing the effects of it.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm post-pot now. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you guys so much.
That was so much fun. Sorry to run.
No, please, go pick up your kids.
Yeah. And you should have astrologer Heidi Rose Robbins on to do, she can work within a window.
Yeah. Okay.
And
okay.
You might be between two signs, and that's.
And she'll discuss that. Like,
okay.
And when she meets you, she will be able to tell
also
you.
Also sort of intuit what feels right.
Kimmy on the keys. Can you write down that name?
Yeah.
Heidi Rose Robbins.
She'll tell you a lot about this.
Perfect. Thank you.
This will be really fun. Bye, guys.
If you want to ask us any questions, you can email us or call us.
Uh-huh.
Email us at NicoleAndSashir@gmail.com
uh-huh.
or call us at 424-645-7-00-003.
Bye-bye.
Bye.